the 20th year or so that we're discussing Kaufman's disappearance. As you all know, both the appearance and disappearance of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotee are transcendental. There's no question of anything material about the disappearance of Krishna's pure devotee. Although we know that it is an activity enacted on the spiritual plane, nevertheless, of course, we feel sorrow and sadness in separation. There's no question of us feeling sorry for the devotee of the Lord who has departed. We feel sorry for ourselves that we are bereft of association. At the same time, we all know that there is never any question for the sincere follower of separation. Srila Prabhupada once said that physical association of the spiritual master is for fools. Of course, we'll all claim the fool category. But we never foresaw, actually, that there would come a time when we would have to function in Krishna consciousness without Srila Prabhupada's direct physical presence. We just didn't think about it. And if anyone did think about it, it was only in the vague theoretical sense. No one ever thought about the impact. So, I remember even myself working at the BBC on Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And whenever we, all the time in the books, of course, there's always talk about bona fide spiritual master. So I always kept thinking, why doesn't Prabhupada just put his name in? I mean, who else can it be? That's the way somebody was thought back then. It's like a child has a father, that's the father, and you don't worry about it. So it was obviously a very traumatic thing for the children to lose their father. And as Prabhupada himself writes in the fourth canon of the Bhagavatam, you can expect that when the spiritual master departs from this world, that there are disturbances and disruptions. That's to be expected. Since it's a very personal thing, the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, some of you, a few of you in this room might not have even been born at that time, 77. I can just discuss briefly a little bit about my insignificant perception at the time. Perhaps in that way you can get some flavor of the times. I'm sure you can hear better accounts from other devotees. I was working at the BBC, and I had it all figured out, how to get Prabhupada's association, which was not easy back because he had like 5,000 disciples. So I was working as editor of the BBC, so on my own I learned everything about the book production process because I knew the book production manager gets to directly communicate with Srila Prabhupada. So, and of course, I observed that the BBC book production manager was a bit shaky in the sadhana. So, I wasn't coming in to the office too often. So I thought, well, somehow I would have to get Prabhupada's association. I tried it to become a big book distributor, but then my body got sick, so I thought, wow, this is the way to go. Prabhupada always communicates directly with the production manager for his books. So, finally in August, though, now when was it? Sometime early in 77, the devotees DBC trustee and GBC met at that time, and they came to me and said, you know, we have a crisis, the production manager, he's totally fizzled out, you know, he's just out of the beach, you know, California dreaming, and, you know, Papa's gonna fry us, you know, if we don't have somebody to put out his books, you know. Because I was there in Los Angeles when Prabhupada came early '75 and just blew everybody out. You all now talk about someone being heavy and flying everybody out. You have no idea what it was like. Ritual Prabhupada to blow everybody out. And you would just be, He was very, very upset that his books weren't coming out. And the BBC was putting out like maybe one book every 2 months. And so Prabhupada came to Los Angeles and he demanded, we have our live books. So devotees did a whole management conference, and not like they do these days, but you know, things weren't so democratic back then. So the heads got together, and you know, okay, we got to do something. All right, we got it. Probably the least we can tell them, we're going to put out one book a month by our increased production. So you know, went and told Prabhupada that. One book a month. There are 17 books left to be published, and you say you can do one book a month? I want all 17 books in 2 months. So, the leader tried to explain to Prabhupada very humbly and sincerely, this doesn't try to help you divide your this doesn't really fit the realm of possibility. Well, blurry. And of course, Prabhupada came out with his famous quote, when they told him it was impossible, he came out then with impossible as a word in the fool's dictionary. Of course, we'd all, once again, like to own up that we were fools, but we weren't going to be let off the hook like that. He wanted the books. You can read in the Lamentor, Prabhupada explained. Ever since he was a little kid, he was very demanding. His mother always gave him what he wanted. Even he didn't want to go to school, his mother would say, okay, you can stay. No, his father said you can stay home. His mother wanted to send him to school. He's always very demanding, always the leader amongst his friends. So he was very demanding. And then he just lowered the balloon, an ultimatum. He said, you give me 17 books in 2 months, or you're all rascals. Now, if you see in India, rascal is a very heavy word. In the West, we just toss it around. But it's a very heavy word in India. And when Prabhupada said that, or else you're all rascals, you can just feel it, man, or else just get lost. So, you know, everyone's in a state of panic, deep shock. So, anyway. The books were done. So that was 75. So by 77, early in 77, the production manager, he hadn't recovered from that. He kind of put his beads on the shelf and to cope with the marathon and, you know, didn't quite execute it in the proper Krishna conscious way. So by early 77, he was at the beach. So they asked me, please, do you know anyone who can run this operation before Prabhupada finds out and just, you know, drop the nuclear bomb? Do you know anyone who can take the job? I said, well, I might know how to do all this. Yeah, here's my chance to get Prabhupada associated. Hey, the grass is all falling my way. So, by August of 77, I thought I had everything under control. I was in charge. Now I could deal directly with Prabhupada. I could go through anybody else. So by that time, Prabhupada was very, very sick and was done. By that time, I was getting all the manuscripts directly from him, arranging for their production. I remember September of 77, I wrote my first letter here. If you're the language, please get some clarification at that time. She's all about this. Not answering letters. And we were dictating the last chapter, the 13th chapter of the Canto. So, the various fragments of the chapters would come flying in from Vrindavan to LA. And I started reading the segments of the 13th chapter. I'm just astonished. Of course, everything Srila Prabhupada wrote is extraordinary, but this 13th chapter, he was into the purports. Sometimes Prabhupada comment on verses, sometimes not. Sometimes long purports, sometimes not. Sometimes transcendently in passing, he would just give a purport. But in the 13th chapter, he was fully into every purport, even cracking jokes about the four-headed Brahma and the four-headed scientists, and all while on his bed of departure. The microphone, as you've seen in the movie, had to be held up to his lips to just whispering into the microphone. The doctor said his situation, if an ordinary man was in that situation, he'd be crying out in pain at every moment. And he called out his dictating the 13th chapter prayers of Lord Brahma and making jokes about the four-headed scientists. So I remember reading that last chapter. And this is about 3 days before Prabhupada's departure, and something told me this is the last chapter. You see, by that time, everybody at the BBC, we had, during the marathon in 75, for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we had about 25. Now we were down to like a crew of about 8, just marathon all-stars. Why? Because Prabhupada got mad and said, why is the BBC paying persons to work without my books? You're all just sucking my blood. Get them off the payroll. The Prabhupada, you may not know about. So, he said that. You're sucking my blood. Clean everybody off the payroll. Just have brahmacharis. Anybody wants to work for free? I'm not paying anybody. So, it's about 8 of us. It was, of course, for those who wanted to do it, it was ecstasy. Just, we go on 18-day sprints, just morning to night, putting out the books, then we take a 3-day break. 18 days, early morning to late at night, then break for 3 days. But sometimes you can just scrape people's brains off the walls. Anyway. We were all just living for the 10th canto, for Prabhupada to finish the 10th canto, the supreme benediction. But Prabhupada always built us up for that. I want to finish the 10th canto, at least. It'll be so many volumes, it'll be so long, 90 chapters. We were just, this was like the supreme destination, the 10th canto. We weren't worried so much about 11 and 12, we could just get 10. So, to read that 13th chapter and realize this is the last chapter, it was staggering. I didn't say anything to the other devotees. Even though I wasn't there in Vrindavan, I knew it was just 13 chapters, and I just had this loud feeling in the heart, this is it. So, I was prepared before the announcement came, a few days later. So, it's a very personal thing, the departure day of Srila Prabhupada. Others can tell you of their experiences, which I'm sure are more profound than Ananda Kalasandra and others. Other than that. But at the same time, Prabhupada said that if his books are distributed, he said he'll live for hundreds of years. He said, I'll live always in my books. He said, my books are better than me. So we have to take that seriously. Studying the books, making them the center of our families, our temples, our lives. so much attraction is there for Srila Prabhupada through his books, both for the devotees and non-devotees, that we can just build everything around the education department of these books, the distribution of these books, the teaching of these books. Such a profound wave you'll see, especially we're already seeing that in New Zealand, because the people they have here, more of an intellectual nature, more reflective nature. It's degraded everywhere in the world, but still people read books here, and we're seeing such a great rise in Prabhupada consciousness amongst the people because they're getting Prabhupada's books. And the more we as devotees make those books the center of our families and temples and our individual lives, the more we'll see why it is that the people in the country are becoming mad after these books. It's amazing upon if you are teaching the books to others, whether it's your family members or the temple, at a preaching center, sometimes you just start to read it and you say, wow, this is amazing. The whole world can be attracted in that way. And that was Prabhupada's idea, that he would live on in this way. So much information is there in his books. How to order society. Last night we were reading in the preface, Prabhupada made it clear. No one knows what the need of human society is. There are deep problems, and these books are meant for the re-spiritualization of the entire society. Prabhupada was going for everything. He wasn't leaving any stone untouched. He wanted everything for Krishna. When I was a new devotee, I used to have when I'd go out in Sankirtan, we had lockers. That's where we kept all our possessions. The lockers were about let's see, this wide and this long, and you kept all your possessions in there. How many centimeters is that wide? 10 centimeters wide, and how many centimeters long?
65.
Yeah, about 65. Get out with your locker. Because everything came out of a merge then. You have to use some clothes. If you size your two devotees a purchase, you go to the merge. So, do you remember that other one? Yeah, when you guys were more advanced than Amsterdam, right? So, I remember on my locker, I had taken one letter from Prabhupada to some devotees. He said, all my life, I've never thought small. I'm always making big plans for Krishna. It is my desire to take over your country and make it Krishna conscious. But he said, I know the plans won't work unless the plan maker and the plan executor remain pure. He always was speaking like this. Krishna consciousness in Prabhupada's hands was always very revolutionary. And from any point, it was revolutionary, not simply about whether people went to the moon or not, but even our personal lives, our family lives, everything, completely revolutionary. Every aspect. And when you read Prabhupada's preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, you see what he's going for. What his thrust is, re-spiritualization of the entire society, revolution in the impious lives of today's world. No small-time religionist, no sect leader, everything based on the deepest, most profound knowledge. And people are becoming awake to that. You'd be surprised. I'll just give you some quick indications. You see how Prabhupada, although his physical disappearance is there, you hear how physically, how spiritually his appearance is increasing. These are just ordinary people. This is a report from Dr. James. He knocked on the door. A man in his late 50s opened the door. So the devotee presented the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The man exclaimed, I'm a house packer. I've been all over the country. Wherever I go, I see this book on bookshelves. He was incredulous. In all the country, you know, house packer. Then he went on to say that some of his friends had read the Bhagavad Gita and were pleading with him to read it, but he didn't have a book. So of course he got one. I mean, these are very profound indications. Now, the factor goes all over the country, and you ought to know what the people tell them. You can't get a more accurate survey than that. And the devotees who are distributing on Queen Street, they're having people come up to them now and saying, how are you? I see you here every day. I'm going to get a book from you one day. And they're just treating devotees like, you're part of the scene here. And because the devotees are trying to be very friendly and non-passionately attached to the results, people are coming up to them asking, do you have a book? I'm looking for Bhagavad Gita. It's happening. I'm not exaggerating. Sometimes I even think the devotees are exaggerating, but I hear it up now. No, it's not an exaggeration. People are coming up. I think this happened even to Tracy. Yes, she was doing something on Queen Street and someone came up, do you have a book of Gita? This is all Prabhupada's appearance. Amidst his physical disappearance. This is another one. Some of the ladies, they're doing the 4th Street area on Friday night. It's not heavy at all, like red light distance in other cities. So. And it seems that they're realizing there's not much difference between 4th Street and the campus of the University of Auckland. In fact, some of the ladies who work in the 4th Street area, they do it to earn money to pay for the uni. So, actually, there's not much difference in any activities. So, this is Michelle. She's a prostitute on 4th Street. She brought a Krishna book. She's reading it every day, remembering the story she's read. There's another one down there who, she would read Bhagavad Gita before she goes on stage to calm her nerves. She's a stripper, so before she goes on the stage, she would read Bhagavad Gita to calm her nerves. And, what's that? So, now, Michelle, she's looking at an art book, because some of the girls on 4th Street, they've been buying Krishna art books. They love bliss balls, they have Jagannath stickers all over their dressing rooms. So, here, Michelle, while she's looking at the art book, some customers came in, and she ignored them. Her eyes were glued to the book. She said to them, you'll have to wait for a room. And then she went back to the book. These are some young guys. So, everywhere, people are becoming attracted to these books. It's not just a notion that we say to make everybody feel fired up. Yeah, everybody wants the books. The book is really neat. It's happening. What else? One devotee saying, I just distributed a Bhagavad Gita to a man who paid with Australian dollars. I went to the bank to change the money. The girl at the counter had a name tag that said Gita, a Hindi girl. I asked if she knew what her name means in Sanskrit. As she was replying, she caught sight of my stack of books. Is that your book? Can I buy it off you? I've been wanting to read this for ages. I've heard so much about it. So right there in front of her bosses at the bank, she's buying a Bhagavad Gita over the counter. These things are going on. Another incident I think some of you heard about. One devotee was distributing in some area and saw some men standing outside the door of an unmarked building, no sign of it. So they looked older, so the devotee decided to approach them with a vegetarian cookbook, Karma's cookbook. Went up to the men and showed it to them. They all burst out laughing. She was wondering what's going on. They said, don't you know what this is, this place? Yeah, this is where we cut up animals after they've been slaughtered. So she told them, well, then you really need a book. So she handed them a Krishna book. One of them took the Krishna book, looked at the cover. Krishna! And then he and his mate both threw their hands up in the air and started dancing and singing like an Arjuna boy. They had this group of butchers. They were imitating a Arjuna boy. So then they bought the book. Some of them are making fun of the guy who bought the book. The guy who wrote the book was like, yeah, I'm going to read this book. So, even this becoming daily occurrence now, even I'm a bit amazed. It's getting quite out of hand. Something is happening. What else do we have here? This is on Queen Street. One devotee was sitting in the van waiting for some other devotees, so a couple walks past and the devotee had him in the van staring at a picture, a beautiful picture of Krishna. So the devotee just decided to stick the picture out the window and say, hey, look at this. So a couple So the couple stopped, and the man said, is that Hare Krishna? So the devotee said, yes. So the man, he turned out he was a Christian, so he started to give a huge lecture about Jesus is the only way. But he wanted to know what Hare Krishna was all about. So the devotee, knowing that this could go on forever, just said, get a book, and then I'll tell you. So the man actually did get a book, very happily. So these are just becoming routine occurrences. Here's another incident. In the devotee was in the parking lot waiting for some devotees. Noticing a man getting money out of the cash machine. So the devotee was thinking, I didn't feel like asking him if he wanted a book, so I tried to make up for it by praying that I might meet him one day on the street and he would get a book. Those excuses will be made by the devotees. No, I didn't feel like, you know, approaching him, but I figured I'd make up for that. My laziness by praying to Krishna that I would meet him on the street one day and he'd get a book. So suddenly my arm reached for a Gita, opened the window, and some words blurted out, would you like to get a book? The man said, how much? $7, I replied. He reached, you know, he was getting his money out of the cash machine. He hadn't any change, so he handed over $20. So that shows that Krishna sometimes just pushes us aside and just shows us how the job can be done. This is one devotee, Craig. I was distributing books in Hamilton City, maybe 3 weeks ago. A guy came up to me and said he had some questions. He had gotten a Bhagavad Gita from Prabhupada. He asked that he couldn't go away and meditate as it said in the sixth chapter of the Gita. This is if someone stopping the devotee in the street. He already bought a book and he had a question. I just can't go away and meditate like the sixth chapter says. What to do? He had a job, was studying at the uni, so the devotee told him, keep reading, because you're about two verses away from where Arjuna says the same thing. He can't do it. So the devotee contacted Sankham, got his number and name, and invited him to a program. So he came along, he's a Christian, got into the chanting and dancing. So while the boys were in Hamilton, he would come over to meet his wife every week. Now he's chanting 16 rounds a day. By their stay in Hamilton, about 3 persons came forward to become Krishna hunters. So, it's happening because of Srila Prabhupada's books, which have had his presence. We long for his physical presence. But he said that he would live in his books if his books are distributed, to live hundreds of years. This is Tim. I met a girl on the door-to-door who was interested in the Great Vegetarian Cookbook, but she had no money. She thought her boyfriend, who was working, would also be interested. She directed me to where her boyfriend was working. I found him hard at work in the friendly neighborhood liquor store. He was very enlivened by the science of self-realization and the Gita. Unfortunately, he was also short of funds, so he requested me to return on payday, but he told me he had a friend, Nika. So I went to look for Nika. After a short drive, I found that Nika was not home. As I was preparing to drive off, one of the neighbors came out of her house to see what I was doing. The dog was barking. I told her I was a Hare Krishna who was trying to find Nika, her neighbor. She told me I'd gone to the wrong house, and Nicka lived the next house over. I asked her if she would like to see some books. She bought a book for $10. I moved on next door and found the mysterious Nicka in the middle of reading the Gita. Annie had just finished taking the Tapo Yoga system out of the library. So Nicka also purchased the Art of a Science Civilization and agreed to come to our home program. So Tim writes, do you think it could be possible that Krishna has something to do with this? So this is the glory of Srila Prabhupada, and we're seeing that it can happen. So many Bhagavad-gitas are in this country, people are asking for them, they've heard about it, their friends are telling them to read it, so now we'll start to stress Krishna book, 2 volumes. So it just goes on and on and on. The set distribution is starting to increase. One set was sold last week, for example, to someone who was met on the street and then kept buying book after book from devotees on the street, and then the devotees went to her house, nice kirtan, nice discussion, and the girl, she asked, I have this book by somebody called Bhagavan Sri so-and-so Baba, so-and-so Sai Baba. So the devotee told her very nicely, I don't really recommend that. He said he's God, but he's ugly. So they told the girl just takes another look at the cover and says, yuck! She had that realization, and she said, yuck! The corpse is trying to rub his face. This is how effective sound vibration is when you're preaching. The girl heard it. And then she took another look. Indeed, as women will say, yeah. And at first they were saying they didn't have enough money for the set, but then the boyfriend, he gave it, yeah, we should get it. So these things are happening. The mercy is being circulated. Prabhupada's presence through his books is coming very strongly in New Zealand. We all have to make the study of these books the center of our life. It's not that we just distribute them and don't study them. The more we can make our centers places where people can become educated in Prabhupada's books, the stronger the devotees will be, the stronger the congregation will be. We've seen that here in New Barcelona. Because the congregation is being educated in the philosophy, they're becoming very strong with backbone in Krishna consciousness. They're not just like sentimental members. They are becoming fixed in knowledge. So our families, our temples, our individual devotees, the more we can absorb ourselves in Prabhupada's books, we'll feel his presence and association. Prabhupada gave us that promise, so we have to take him up on it. The books aren't simply for those who are out on the street. That's just a small number. The books are for us all. They're the basis of our family life, the basis of our individual life. The more we live and breathe these books, the more people become attracted to Krishna consciousness. The more we become attracted to Krishna. So even though we're celebrating Prabhupada's disappearance, we see the appearance. And that, of course, is our extraordinary fortune. Although we have no qualifications, we see the appearance in spite of physical disappearance. And we're all entitled to that. Prabhupada's books, you can never go wrong with them. Everyone's looking for absolute shelter. So there you have it. So somehow or other, we obviously feel problems and be pleased with us all. All of the sections of our Krishna conscious society, those with families, those who are single, those who are congregation members, if they can keep Prabhupada's books in the center and they shall live them, then people will become attracted. What's in those books? This is how you live? I don't FBI also is very important. These books aren't just for before you get married. Especially at any moment of any moment.
Someone took exception to this statement. They didn't like this idea about mere liberation. This was a fellow who had some Mayavadi inclinations. A fellow by the name of Gopal Chakravarti. You may remember this story. He worked for Hiranyan Govardhana Jr. He was a tax collector under them. And he was highly offended by this description. He was beautiful, learned, youthful, but he couldn't tolerate this statement because he was attached to liberation and decided this blowing away, you know, mere liberation. He didn't think so much of it, so he became angry and accused Haridas Thakur of being a bhavuka. Bhavuka means like a fanatic, an emotional devotee. Holy roller, or something like that. So he challenged this, and everybody got upset, and Haridas Thakur says, don't worry, he wasn't particularly upset himself. And then Gopal Chakravarti, he said this thing, he made this statement, said, what was it? Oh yeah, here's what he said. If by Namabhas, he says, if, Gopal Chakravarti said, if one is not liberated by Namabhas, then you may be certain that I shall cut off your nose. That's what he said. And Haridas Thakur says, if by Namabhas liberation is not available, I'll cut off my own nose. I don't know what this is about noses, but anyway, that's what happened. They got into this nose thing. And then Gopal Chakravarti left, and the Majumdars actually fired him. They thought he was so insulting. And then he got leprosy. He came down with leprosy, and his very beautiful nose, of which he was quite proud, fell off. That's the story, which may actually make Haridas Thakur very upset.
A very firm program of studying Prabhupada books, you always notice how strong they are. There's no funny business in the marriages or anything. This is rock solid foundation. So we've got to kick out this idea that studying the books is just for when you're a brahmacharya or brahmacharini. No. That has not worked. And it's not supposed to work. All ashrams mean, ashram is called by divine, it means a stance, a station you take up for spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement is based on Prabhupada's books. So those of us who've been out of it for a while in terms of not cracking the books, it takes some effort to get back in, but once you do, you realize this is the most amazing thing. Not everybody's a scholar, so at least to glorify Prabhupada and maintain your association, and we just read readily, but we need the Krishna book. Okay. But sometimes we're not doing that, and Prabhupada would always complain about that. It's not simply a household problem. Even sannyasis, they get so busy. They might, you know, we might think, we've read it all before. No, everybody has to keep daily immersed. And then you'll feel Prabhupada's association so much in the way that he wants it. Because it wasn't possible for Prabhupada to physically associate with everybody. It was not possible. But he was making up for that through his books. And you can still feel that now. And that is Prabhupada's benediction upon all his followers for centuries to come. Feel me through my books. So we can stress the teaching and education by these books, the distribution of these books, congregational development based on the books, family development based on the books. Then everything becomes all attractive and everybody feels Prabhupada's presence. Are we having our tea? All glory to Yeshua.